Morning. It's definitely hard to get into the moment after what God was speaking in during worship. But what's interesting about this particular moment, first of all, I just want to say I'm very thankful, you know, to Pastor Lena to give me this opportunity to be able to speak and to give you guys a message. This particular moment, I've had visions and dreams of 2 years ago. And what was interesting was, is Bree and I were at a different church. And even in that church, we were even offered a position to be part of the church of leadership. But something within me, there was an uneasiness where I just didn't feel at peace at that time that of where we were at. And there was just a stirring within me. And so I would have these dreams and these visions of me actually preaching, but it wasn't quite clear of where specifically where it was. And I remember, I think I had gone to lunch with John, and we were just talking, trying to catch up. And one of the things that he said to me, so, is when you're coming back, you know, just jokingly, because we weren't here at this time. And so I actually took that to heart, and I would visit from time to time. And I remember one of the times that I came and visited, Pastor Easy was praying for all over the men. And he laid hands on me. And the thing was, as he said to me, is, where you been? And the moment that he prayed for me, it was like the Spirit of God just hit me and I just started crying. And Pastor Easy, I don't know if you remember, but I don't even remember the exact word that you gave me about being in mud and you were trying to get out and you just didn't know what you were trying to do, but that was part of the word. But I got hit so hard, and I couldn't stop crying. And I remember on my way home, and I said, God, if this is truly you and you want me to be part of this house once again, I said, you're going to give Breanne confirmation that we needed to be here. And so I told her what had happened. I think we came and visited maybe once, maybe twice. And then Jen, of course, came up. The prophet of the house gave us a word. The Lord's calling you to be here. You're going to be fathers and mothers for those to come, for the young people. And so it was, again, and then when you released that word, I remember driving home, and it came clear to me. I was able, I had a dream the next day, and I could see the stage, just how it is. And I could see, I mean, it was clear as day that this particular moment was where God wanted me to be. And so, you know, that's so precious to see how God works in those ways. And so before I kind of get in and dive in, is Jen, a couple days ago, I was actually praying, and the Lord had put you on my heart about the prophet of the house. And I keep hearing the word expansion. And as you are the voice of this house, but God is calling you in an expansion to be a voice to the world. There are going to be opportunities that the Lord is going to bring your way. And it may not even necessarily be a church. It may be a person, a place. It may be in Walmart. But God's going to bring different opportunities your way. And you're going to be a voice to them. And when you speak, I saw healing release. I saw people getting set free. I saw salvation come. And so I see that expansion. And so right now, I bless Jen. I release the word. I thank you, Lord, for what's to come. I thank you for the fruit that's going to come forth from her being obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So a little bit about me for those who don't know who I am. Again, my name is Rodney. Married about 27 years now to this beautiful wife, this beautiful blonde who just had a birthday yesterday. If you want to know how we met, just come and ask me. Don't ask her, because I have the real story of how we met. And we can talk later after church. Two miracle kids. In fact, Ed Trout prophesied that you would have chalk and cheese, who's coming next week. And there are definitely chalk and cheese. In fact, Devin's not here today. He actually heard chalk and cheese fighting when he was at our house the other day, so he could truly say that they were chalk and cheese. I know that you guys last week were truly blessed by Micah's message last Sunday. I'm a little sad that he bumped me, but you know what? It is what it is. Everyone that I gave, you know, his testimony to, the first thing they said to me is, I cried the first minute. You know, a lot has to do with his pureness of really wanting to do what God wants to do, his obedience, right? His obedience is better than his, what would you say, sacrifice? His performance, that's what it was. And then I believe the same thing to Jasmine as well, because God has great and mighty things, you know, over her. And you know, John keeps saying it. And it was said, too, in our house when we had awe in our house a couple Fridays ago. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do in her life. I was saved when I was 11. I'm not going to go into detail about my salvation, but I was scare tactic saved, honestly, when I was 11. I had cousins that scared me into my salvation because they told me, honestly, it was raining and it was like a thunderstorm, and they told me if I didn't accept Christ, I was going to go to hell. But the funny thing was, is they didn't know how to lead me into the prayer of salvation, which was the craziest thing. And again, I'm not going to go into the details about it, but back in the day, there was this TV, there was on the TV screen, is you could turn to channel 14 to TBN, and it said prayer line. Remembers that? And so I just remembered being scared to death, calling in the middle of the night the prayer line, and nobody picked up the phone. And so I was like so mad. Like, I'm thinking in myself, a little 11-year-old kid, I'm going to go to hell. But it wasn't until like 9 o'clock the next morning, the lady finally picked up the phone. And I was screaming and yelling at her. I said, didn't you know I could have gone to hell? Why didn't you pick up the phone? And so that's when I got saved. But my first encounter with the Lord is when I was 16 years old. And then at 16, I was living in Chicago at that time, and I was doing things that the devil never even thought of. And a lot of us could maybe testify to that. And I had multiple near-death experiences. And then on my final near-death experience, I remember running away because a group of guys in a car was coming after me. And I ran away to a park, and I started crying unto the Lord. And the minute that I did that, I just felt like there was kind of a presence. Later on that night, in a pitch black room, probably the square, I don't know, 200 square feet, it was pitch black, and this bright light just illuminated in my room. And this image of a man started to walk through what I felt like was a portal, and he just walked into the room, and he was, all I could see was the shape of this beams were coming out, but I felt this peace and this presence and this love just start to come over me, and it started coming towards me. And at that time, I thought, honestly, it was like demonic. You know, I was cursing at it. I was casting it out, whatever I need, you know, and I was trying to get this thing to get away from it, but it kept coming my way. And as soon as it walked to my bedside, it laid down his hand, and I could see the hole that was in his hand. And I could see part of his robe kind of go down. And he was unctioning onto me to grab his hand. And the minute that I grabbed his hand, it disappeared. And then soon after, I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me and say, "Welcome home, son." It was life-changing. It was an encounter of God that I have never experienced. And just to remember that, that marked me that day will always be remembered. And so my prayer this morning is the same encounter. And I believe those encounters this morning, we encountered the presence of God in this place. And it's the same thing. And it's not like you, what's so ironic about that whole thing, I won't say ironic, is there's just more of it that's yet to come. Um, So this morning, I honestly was going to preach the message that I thought I was going to preach was the power of agreement. What are you partnering up with? On Monday, I was in a prayer meeting with Alden, who comes every now and then. And in this prayer meeting, it was super powerful. I mean, I think, Lena, you would love Miss Betty Jones. She's this tall, 70 years old, but she is a spitfire. She walks in the prophetic, and she walks into deliverance. And during this service is I kept hearing the words, "Are you all in?" That's all I heard. I don't even remember, to be honest, what she preached about completely. But that's all I kept hearing was, "Are you all in?" And so Tuesday, Micah and I went to go see Pastor Reg at St. Divine Church. And through his message, I kept hearing the word, "Are you all in?" And I said, "God, what are you trying to say to me?" And he said, "I want you to share it on Sunday." And I said, "God, I already have a message already prepared. I don't have to study, you know, it's already there." And so I said, "God, if this is of you, you're going to give me confirmation that this is what you want me to share." You would figure, well, twice is enough, right? So I was scrolling through this book, and guess what the title was? "Are you all in?" I kid you not. So with that said, this morning I'm all in. I'm being obedient. I'm praying. I'm praying to obey. And so I want to turn to John 15, 4 through 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So the word in the Greek, the word "abide" in the Greek means meno, which means to remain in the same place, to wait for, to keep on, to stay, to lodge with. See, "abide in me" says the Lord is wanting permanent residence in him. See, God is not looking, God does not want a VRBO. He doesn't want a hotel where you can come and go as you please. But let me be honest. Me can just be truly honest with you. God is not wanting fickle. He really is not. And just even during worship, that's what I kept hearing. And if you read, if you look at the definition of fickle, it means changing frequently, especially as regards one's loyalties, interests, or affection. See, in my marriage with Brianne, if I was fickle, she would have divorced me a long time ago. But that's not what God wants. See, he wants a permanent residence in him. He wants to wait for, keep on, stay with, lodge with at all costs. Not just sometimes or some costs, all costs. Because Matthew 22:37 says what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And message of that scripture there is that God wants our entire being. He's a jealous God. He wants all of you. Now, there were many times that I wasn't all in with God. I remember even in my finances, being honest, I didn't tithe, working three jobs. Maybe the reason why I was working three jobs because I didn't tithe. But I remember as soon as I tithed and asked the Lord for forgiveness, I started tithing. What happened? There was a breakthrough in my life. I was all in with him. In my marriage, can I just honestly say, just be transparent with you, I wasn't all in at times in my marriage. In fact, I remember there was a time that me and Brianne weren't getting along, and I was just frustrated with her. She was frustrated with me. I don't know why. But I remember we had gone to a meeting, and there was a prophet in the house. Everyone was getting all these spiritual worlds. Are you going to go change the world? You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I was like, all right, Kate, our Lord, what's the word for me? And when the prophet came to me and prayed for, and I kid you not, this is a true story. The only words that he said to me was, she's the one for you. That was it. I was like, that's it? But it was true. It's just interesting how God speaks. But even in my obedience, you know, there were times when God said, I wasn't all in my obedience, and God said, go pray for someone. Go minister to someone. Is that anybody here? How many times have God spoken to you at a Walmart or the grocery store and said, go pray for someone, go bless someone? How come Aiden's the only one that's raising their hand? Cast those lies in Jesus' name. But I wasn't all in at that time. But when I was all in and was obedient to God, there was healing that took place. There was people getting set free. There was salvation. And there was this one particular moment when I was in Des Moines, Iowa, in my corporate office at my hotel. The Lord, in my quiet time with the Lord, he had spoken to me and said that you were going to pray for your clients that you're picking up from the airport this morning. And in corporate America, as we know these days, to be able to step out in faith and pray for someone, the first thing that came to my mind was, you're going to lose your job if you do that. The enemy is already speaking to me. You're going to lose your job if you go and pray for this person. And so I went and picked them up from the hotel, brought them to our office, kind of showed them around our whole plant, took them out to lunch. I drive up, and there it goes. Holy Spirit says, now pray for them. I'm like, now? You know how you're starting to wrestle, like, But God was saying, be obedient. And that was the only thing that I could think of is you're going to lose your job. But I stepped out in faith and I said to the couple, I said, this may sound kind of weird, but I want to let you know I'm a Christian. And I just felt in my spirit, would you mind me praying for you? And she said, of course. And then all of a sudden, the wife just started telling me what was going on. She said, well, can you pray for this situation? My granddaughter has this rare disease, and if she doesn't get special help, she could die. And so I honestly, at that moment, I felt, I mean, the presence of God just filled the car. And there was just like a piece of a wave that just came through. I remember praying and praying different things. I turned around, and she was just bawling. She was just crying and bawling and was just thankful that I would be so obedient to even pray for her and both of them. But that's what happens when we're all in and we're being obedient, just like the words that in you, Court, coming up and just being obedient for what God had spoken through you. So God wants all of you, your entire being, with no mixture, We were talking about that even on Wednesday, no mixture. And God already put that in me. It was, God wants all of you, your entire being, with no mixture, no agenda. He wants no self in the way. Why? Because the pure of heart shall see God. In verse 4, it says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, the branch is fully dependent on the vine. That's where it gets its life from. Anyone during the storm collected branches? I know we did. We had a pile probably this big. And these were branches that had broken off from the tree. And I remember as we were collecting branches, me, Brianne, and Jazz, I don't know where Micah was. He was too busy having fun. Just kidding. So we were collecting branches, and the branches were actually green at that time. Collect the branches, you put them in a pile, and guess what? The next day they're withered. All the leaves are brown and are already withered. Why? Because it wasn't connected. See, when we abide, we can't come and go as we please. See, we also just pick and choose what we want from him. See, God is not a vending machine. We can't just put in our dollar or our credit card and say, well, I just want the blessings. I just want the anointing on my life. I want the power, but I don't want to pray. I want favor, but I don't want to forgive that person. We just pick and choose like a vending machine. And that's how we treat God, honestly. See, because God is not moved by our convenience. We only want to come to God when we need something. I mean, I've done that multiple times. See, he doesn't want us to fit him in his schedule. He wants us to abide. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Why? For without me, you can do nothing. Let me say it again. For without me, you can do nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, without him, I can do nothing. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and you shall be done. It shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What does it mean to abide in him? Truly. And this is what the three things that God had shared with me is to connect with him. You know, we need to spend time in the secret place. We need to know about him through reading of his word. We need to pray and fast. Those are things that we've, as a church or just me, speaking to me, is just I haven't done enough of. We definitely need to commit. Some people don't like to commit. I'll be honest, and maybe that's why the divorce rate is so high, especially even in the Christian churches. There's a lack of commitment. But how much does that say about our relationship with him? Is not wanting to commit. We got to commit everything to him, even when it's not convenient. Not when it's convenient. You know, Psalm 37:5 says, commit in your way to the Lord, trust in him, and also he will do it. He will make your righteousness, your pursuit of the right standing with God like the light, and your judgment like the shining of the noonday. And then lastly, which I believe is even just as important, was we need to consecrate. We need to be set apart. We need to be asking him what things are in us that aren't pleasing to you. We don't do that. We need to ask him to remove those things out of our life. Why? So he can increase, so we can decrease, right? 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as the Lord. Always be ready to give defense to anyone who asks you to account for hope and confidence assurance elicited by faith that is within you, yet with gentleness and respect." So this morning, we talked about being connected. And I have to truly just ask this morning, this is step one. This is the most important thing is in order to start to be connected with him, you have to know him. So I need to ask, is there anybody here that has not accepted the Lord as their personal Savior? And I'm going to say truly have accepted him to be your Lord of your life, not to be a fan, but to be a follower. And if that's you today, I'd like you to raise your hand. Anybody? Amen. Now, if there's anyone here that wants to recommit, we just talked about commitment. If there's anyone here that wants to recommit their life and truly give him the opportunity to be, again, once the Lord of your life, of everything of your life. If the Holy Spirit is speaking unto you and that's something that you feel like you want to do, would you raise your hands? Anybody that want to recommit their life unto the Lord? Amen. Thank you, brother. And this last piece about consecration set apart. So I'm going to bring in last Sunday of what really the Lord was sharing with me through prayer about. There are just a lot of different things and struggles that people here within the church have been struggling with. And if there's any one of you that need that breakthrough in your life, and here's what I'm hearing was hearing last week. Let me just share this. First, I want to share this because in worship, I kept hearing the words, break the chains, break the strongholds. Without me, without him, you can do nothing. So this is what I heard last week. I heard these words specifically, and they were really clear to me. And it says, you will never be healed. You will never measure up. You will never be successful. You will never be prosperous. You will never be set free from lust, perversion, or even laziness. You will never be married. You will never have kids. Your kids are the worst. And these are just words that I heard from just kind of the demonic just speaking these things. And I was in prayer and I was interceding against these words that people, I felt like the hearts of what people were feeling. And they were attached to these hearts. And these aren't just things that we just dealt, these people dealt with. These were truly things that had gone deep. And it was a struggle. And so if that's you this morning, if there's a breakthrough that you need this morning, I'm going to ask you just to come forth. If any of those words that I've spoken, or if there's anything in particular that you want prayer for a breakthrough, I want to open up the altar for you so we can come pray for you and pray that God sets you free this day at no more. Is that anybody? You are welcome to come forth. Believe me, I want to pray for anybody that has been, and it doesn't have to be specifically those words that I spoken, but if there's anything here that anybody is dealing with or wants to see a breakthrough in their life, please come forth and so we can pray for you. Amen.